This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Fred Cronin, fishery biologist with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Welcome to the show, Fred.
Hi, Rick. Thank you very much.
Fred, today we're going to talk a little bit about pond and lake maintenance, and with that goes stocking fish and things like that. But to start off the program, it's still cold, but actually it's about time to maybe start preparing or at least take a look at maybe some things that might need to be done to one's pond or lake. As this spring approaches, what are some of the things that maybe a person should look for at their pond or lake, or what they might take notice of that might need some attention?
Yeah, Rick, right now is a good time to start thinking about lake and pond management. Stocking, they will start taking orders for fish soon. But prior to that, you could probably take a look at your dam and inspect your spillway, your overflow pipe, clear brush, try to keep your dams clean of trees and brush, and it might be a good time to tackle that chore if there's some shrubs or trees growing on the front or backside of the dam. It'd be a good time to clean those off. Stocking, like I said, is coming up soon, so it's time to start thinking about that. And with fish stocking, you need to kind of have a plan. Most established lakes and ponds, you don't need to stock fish every year. You're either going to do it for a correctional stocking or a supplemental to add fish. So things to think about.
One other thing with things coming up concerning the water in the lake, I guess we could say. Many people might have a pond, lake, that has runoff that comes from, say, farm fields and stuff like that. Is there things they should do now so that when the farmers get out there and start adding their, say, chemicals or working up the soil, and there might be a lot of, say, soil erosion or something like that, what would you suggest they maybe do to cut down on that going into their water?
Pretty much almost every lake and pond gets some input from agricultural in Illinois, so it's something to think about. Anything you can do to minimize the sediment coming in to your lake or pond is going to benefit it in the long term. If it's a newer lake that's well constructed, it might have a catch basin in front of it. Time to take a look at those. If you've got a smaller pond that doesn't, prior to the spring rains, even staking some straw bales in your main drainage area to slow down and catch some of that sediment is very beneficial as well. So, yeah, anything you can, if you can keep any of the sediment out, it's going to help you long term. Along with the sediment, you're getting nutrients, you're getting nitrogen and phosphorus, which can lead to aquatic plant growth. Sometimes there's not much you can do about that, but having good vegetation in your waterway is a great idea. So it's, it might be time to think about seeding some areas that might need it and, let that grass and let those weeds and stuff grow up in your main drainage areas.
Now back to the fish stocking part. Is there some telltale signs of, oh, I may need this, or I may not need that, or, oh, I have too much of this, or maybe you might remember back to last year, gosh, my fish seemed to be all small or something. Are there things you can sort of judge as to whether stocking is needed or maybe a species is needed?
Absolutely. You want to know what kind of balance you're in. When I say balance, I mean kind of the predator-prey balance, and almost all of our smaller lakes and ponds are pretty much kind of a bluegill bass population, where the bass are the predator and the bluegill are the prey. So, if you have a pond that has lots of small bluegill and few bass, you would probably want to give it a supplemental stocking of bass. That's going to increase predation on those bluegill, and you'll see better growth on your bluegill. It's not uncommon to have it out of balance the other way. And in that case, you might see lots of bass, but not get good growth on them. You might see a pond that has lots of bass, and they're all 10 to 14 inches, and they're skinny, and their heads are big, and they're just not growing. So that's an overpopulation of a bass. So with that, there's not really much stocking necessary. Throwing more bluegill really doesn't help. You need to start reducing the numbers of bass. So you're going to start trying to take as many of those bass out as you can until you see that change. A lot of times ponds will stay in a nice balance, for long periods. the only thing you might want to restock would be channel catfish, since they're not going to get much reproduction, if any, in smaller ponds and lakes. About every 4 to 5 years, you might want to add channel catfish.
As far as the channel catfish, as far as that reproduction, what is that actually due to?
Yeah, that's a good question, and there's a lot of misinformation. People will say, oh, you got to have flowing water, or you've got to have, you know, the nesting cavities. Channel catfish can and will reproduce in any, even a half-acre pond. But what prevents them from successfully reproducing is the largemouth bass population. So once you have a bass population built up, the bass are very efficient predators on the young channel cat, so you really get almost no reproduction from channel cat, and it's just based on the largemouth bass feeding on them.
A couple other questions might have concerning stocking. You see a lot of various stores, offer things like this type of minnow or that type of minnow. Does that actually help maybe feed those bass or feed the other fish to keep them from preying, or is that not as big a helpful ideal as possible?
Well, they sell a lot of minnows for stocking in ponds, and they're typically fathead minnows, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it really doesn't fix the problem. It's sort of like expensive snack food for bass. They're going to eat up all those minnows real fast, and you're going to get no real long-term results from it. So I do recommend stocking fatheads when you're just starting out with a pond, but as a supplemental stocking to an existing pond, it really is probably not worth your money.
And one other popular fish that you see some people interested in, and it's available for stocking as well, is crappie. What's the status of that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Rick. Crappie are kind of dangerous to stock in smaller ponds because of the reproduction potential. They have a kind of have a knack for overpopulating. So you have to be very careful with them. Typically, we don't recommend them in ponds or lakes less than about 5 acres. You know, that being said, it's your pond. If you want to stock crappie, it can work. The key to it is always maintaining a good bass population. If you have a strong bass population, it'll keep the crappie numbers down, and they'll grow well. But if something happens, whether it be a winter fish kill and you lose some of your bigger bass, a summer kill and you lose some bass, the crappie quickly can overtake a small pond, and you end up with just a whole bunch of skinny little crappie. So that's the risk with them. And I know people love to have them, and you can do it. We just typically don't recommend it for ponds under 5 acres.
With that thought in mind, not necessarily that it's exact guidelines, but okay, it's indicated, or maybe you've got a newer pond or something. What sort of is a rule of thumb of per acre of what a bass population should be, or a channel cat, or something like that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Rick. We sort of have a formula for initial stocking of ponds, and per acre, it's about 100 bass. About 100 channel catfish, and about 750 to 1,000 bluegill or bluegill and red ear combined. And that's sort of the initial stocking, and that's where you sort of want the numbers to maintain. 100 to 150 bass per acre is about what you want. Channel catfish the same way. You can go 100 to 150 per acre on those. You don't want to go too much over that, or you just don't get good growth. You get too much competition within the species to get your maximum growth out of those fish.
Aquatic plants, of course, probably not seeing that right now, but many ponds, as it gets warmer and things get going, some people see a lot of what they may term algae or aquatic plants. And sort of what can you do if you think, oh gosh, I got so many, or you go fishing and you're dragging in these long things of algae, what sort of can you do?
Yeah, always keep in mind, aquatic plants come with the pond, and they're an important part of the pond. Just from a fisheries perspective, we like to see 10 to 15% coverage of a pond or lake with aquatic plants. And everybody kind of manages their pond for certain things. Some people want it to swim in, and they want it as clean as they can get it. Your goal should never be to eliminate it. It should be to manage. The first thing people are going to see, when the spring progresses, is filamentous algae, and that's the most common aquatic plant in Illinois. And that's what people call moss or pond scum. It doesn't have any true leaves or stems, just stringy, mossy mats up on the surface. That can be pretty easily managed with copper sulfate or any of the other copper-based algicides that all the farm stores sell. So that's a good approach. And always remember, the first step with any aquatic plant management is identifying correctly what plant you have. You can go to the internet. You can contact your county fish biologist for help with that if you have any trouble. But if you don't identify it correctly, you're probably not going to be able to treat it correctly, because the copper products work on algae. If you've got a submerged aquatic plant like a coontail or a milfoil, you're going to need a different aquatic herbicide than the copper, and that would probably be a diquat product or something like that, which they also sell at the farm stores. But you need to know what you're dealing with to properly treat it.
As we're coming out of winter, and obviously maybe some ponds are in forested areas or near a lot of trees, a lot of leaves go into a pond, and I do know they make products, and they're available at many stores. I guess they sort of call it to clean up the leaves or the old stuff that's laying around, muck in your pond. Do you recommend that as well?
Yeah, those products do some good. They're not a cure-all, and they're not going to fix. If you can do anything right now, if the wind blows all the leaves into a corner of the pond, if you can rake them out or get them out, that's going to probably be more beneficial than these bacteria products that you put in that help to break down the muck. So anything you can do to get those out, that's good. It's kind of like the sediment and the nutrients coming in that we talked about earlier. Anything you can do to reduce that's going to be helpful. The products they sell are usually beneficial bacteria products that stimulate the breakdown of all that organic matter. And they do it to a certain degree, but they're not going to basically fix a pond that's had years and years of buildup of that.
Finally, I guess, as we come towards the end of the show, we've talked about now's the time to get started, both looking at what's going on with your pond, stocking, restocking, and say come the fall. Is there things people should do to prepare the pond before you get into the, I guess you could say, the doldrums of winter?
You know, not really. Mostly all the things we've talked about. Keep an eye on everything, and in the aquatic plant situation, and anything you can, if you can get that stuff out of there, whether it be leaf litter or old plant growth, that's going to help it over the winter. That's what will, draw the oxygen in and potentially cause fish kills. So anything you can get out of there is great. Again, in the fall, there'll be some fish sales, so it's another time to consider stocking if it needs it. But as I mentioned before, have a plan if you're stocking. Kind of know what you're doing. It doesn't always help just to throw fish at a pond if you don't really have a plan.
Fred, is there anywhere someone can go if they've got a question about their pond or anything related to a pond or fish stocking or something like that? Maybe through IDNR, or there maybe websites or even a consultation?
Sure. The IDNR Fish website or the iFish Illinois website are both great sources of information. And better than that, if you on those websites, you'll find a list of fisheries biologists by county. If you have questions regarding, and want some help managing your pond, or have questions about stocking or aquatic plants, give the fisheries biologist a call. On page 3 of the fishing information booklet, there's a list of all the biologists and the counties they cover. So, yeah, they'd be glad to take your call and help you as much as they can. Most of what we do is going to be over-the-phone consultation. Although with new technology, it's kind of neat. People will send me pictures of the aquatic plants, and I can identify them, via the internet with pictures. And that's kind of something that's come around the last few years that's kind of fun. And even with Google Earth, I can zoom in and look at a pond and find out quite a bit about it just by looking at it.
Fred, we'd like to thank you for joining us on the forum program this weekend.
Thank you very much.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.